We have been blessed by God with another day for which we should be very, very thankful. It is so important that we count our blessings, so important that we be thankful to our Creator for all that He has given unto us. We're studying in this series about the great prophet of God named Jonah. My name is Jason Gann, and again, it is good to be able to be with you this day. We are picking up now in Jonah chapter 1. The people have determined that Jonah has done wrong. They have determined that he has upset God in some way, and they've determined this by casting lots. Now, we know that Jonah has upset God. We know that God called Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach unto them, to try to get them to repent. Jonah didn't want to do that, though, because it was Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. It was this place, these Assyrians, that were going to be used as an instrument of God against the northern kingdom. And Jonah did not want to go to these people. He wanted to see these people destroyed. He did not want them to repent. Now, of course, Jonah had the wrong attitude. And we should never have that kind of attitude. In fact, we can learn from Jonah not to have a wrong attitude. God is not willing that any should perish. But the Scriptures say God wants all to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 tells us this. God wants all men to repent. Well, as we continue onward then in Jonah chapter 1, verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? The mariners are asking Jonah some questions here. And Jonah is going to have to give an account. Verse 9, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Jonah says that he fears God. Well, no doubt he should fear God. We all should. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10:31. We should respect God and reverence God. Jonah should have done this to start with. By doing as God commanded, we should do what God wants us to do. He calls us by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. This is the way God calls us today. He calls us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, to go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to call men and women to repentance. Hope we're doing that as faithful Christians. Jonah has to give an account. Verse 10, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. The men knew that he made a big boo-boo. You can't flee from God. You can't do that. Verse 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea rocked and was tempestuous. They wanted to know what they needed to do to stop the storm. Because if the storm continued, they feared for their very lives. Verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. It's my fault, Jonah says. It's my fault this storm is upon you. Throw me overboard. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea rocked and was tempestuous against them. Imagine this in your head. A ship on water, on a body of water with a great storm upon them. A storm that they were not acquainted with. This was a special storm. They knew that this storm had come upon them because Jonah was on the ship. And Jonah was a man trying to flee from God. Jonah says, throw me overboard. They say, we're going to row harder to try to get to shore. Well, they're unable to do this. Verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee. Let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. They cry to God to save them. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Here we learn the results of Jonah's disobedience. He gets thrown out into the sea. Brothers and sisters, the way of the transgressor is hard. We're much better off when we obey God rather than when we disobey God. Verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. These men had become acquainted with the God. And they were very, very afraid to disobey Him. Verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Of course, there's a little song, a little children's song that we sing pertaining to Jonah being swallowed by the great fish. My nephew on Monday, he sang that song on this radio program. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This was a great fish. What kind of fish exactly? Well, the terminology just simply means that from an aquatic setting. This was no doubt a very large fish. It's called a great fish after all. It was some kind of sea creature. In the New Testament, the word whale is used in the King James Version. The word used for whale there in the Greek does not of necessity mean a whale, but may denote a large fish or sea monster of any kind. So whether this was an actual whale or whether it was some other kind of sea monster, we know not. But we do know this. We know what the Bible says about it. We know that this was a huge fish, and this great fish swallowed up Jonah. This was a great fish swallowing up Jonah. What a time that was. There must have been for Jonah a scary time, no doubt. We have learned from historical accounts that men have been swallowed by great fish at various times. The circumstances involved here are not beyond the realm of possibility, even from a natural viewpoint, as used in the providential operations of God. A number of similar cases have been documented in relatively modern times. In the early 1900s, a seaman was swallowed by a large sperm whale near the Falkland Islands. After 3 days, he was recovered, and he was unconscious, but he was alive, though there was some damage to his skin. And that is from the Princeton Theological Review, number 25, October of 1927, written by A.J. Wilson, which tells us about that. Also in the book Science and Scripture by Harry Rimmer, we are told a historical account of a man who was swallowed by a whale, and people worked to subdue this whale and then to cut the whale open to get the man out of the whale, and it took them about 2 days to do these things. And when they finally got the man out of the whale, the man was still alive. So from a natural perspective, this could happen. Even from a natural perspective. Now, God no doubt was working here to protect Jonah in Jonah 1:17. Jonah thus is swallowed by a great fish. This is the obvious reason that so many of us are fascinated with this man Jonah because of what he went through. Going into Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And if I had been him, I would have been praying as well, praying very, very fervently, as we always should. verse 2, and said, I cried by reason in my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. That word hell there is from the Hebrew Sheol, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Out of the belly of the fish, Jonah cried unto God. At the very point of almost being in the grave, in other words, Jonah was crying unto God. Verse 3, For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Jonah speaks here about being cast into this sea. Verse 4, Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. Jonah here determines, while in the belly of the great fish, that he is going to obey God. While in the belly of the fish, Jonah learns a very valuable lesson. That he cannot disobey God and get away with it. That he would be much better off to just obey God. Verse 5, The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. While in this Mediterranean sea, the seaweed was wrapped about his head. Verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Jonah is describing his condition here when he was inside the great fish, sometimes referred to as a whale. In the generic sense of being an aquatic creature. Verse 7, When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Jonah was at the point of fainting, and he remembered his prayer that came unto God. Verse 8, They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Verse 10 says, And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Jonah, in chapter 1, he runs from God. In chapter 2, he runs to God. It is my prayer that you will run to God if you're away from Him. By becoming a Christian, hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of sins, Acts 3:38, confessing Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and by being baptized, you will be a Christian. You must live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2:10. If you're astray as a Christian, you need to come back. Run to God. Run back to God through repentance, Acts 8:22, and confession of your sins. Thank you for joining us today. Please come back tomorrow, Lord willing.